take your ass. I could take your jaw. Put your butt in the dirt, boy. Yeah, I'd have a ball. So go ahead and act tough, like you John Wayne's son. But things can change fast.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh, here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and it sent lead and smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather. Beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
I keep forgetting to take that off of there. Welcome to the shooting bench. Whatever the case may be, 19th of February, and of course it's a Thursday, and we're going to kind of center most of our discussion on guns tonight. I've been effectively talked out of abandoning the Thursday night all gun thing, so we're going to keep that up for the time being. We've got, before we get too deep into this, there was some discussion last night about organizing communities and stuff. And, you know, one of the things that we didn't talk about, at least I don't believe we talked about it, is getting the word out to the communities. And we thought that... instead of trying to do it all yourself, instead of trying to have a big meeting, a big get together at the community center or something and try to tell everybody, the thing to do might be to tell your local church leaders, any community leaders that you have around there, get them into a meeting. You know, have 20 people in a meeting instead of 300, and get, you know, find out if they're on board, what their congregation or their groups think, and then go from there. Teach them the principles of this organization that we talked about last night, and let them present it to their congregations. Now, after some considerable amount of thought about this, last night we talked about three stages of action here. The first one being doing nothing more than patrols and your communication in everybody pretty much in place, you know, at their homes, their farms, whatever. And the second one being maybe stepping up the patrols and stuff a little bit, and maybe, now this would be after there has been some interaction with bad guys, or I shouldn't say bad guys, or they may be your fellow, you know, neighbors, but they're due to their situation becoming what we would treat the same as a bad guy. And that would be to take some of the people from the outer, the farthest reaches of your perimeter, and bring them in a little bit closer so you can keep track of them, especially the elderly and the single moms and stuff like that, where you can kind of help keep an eye on them. And then level three being quite a bit of interaction. We've got problems going on. Everybody's going to consolidate a little bit, and we're going to put armed contingents of people in certain key areas there to hold those areas, and that's going to vary large quite a bit with the area, the terrain, and all of that. Well, I've decided that there probably needs to be a fourth stage to this, and that is the fourth stage would be having everybody get in close and tight and try to hold a piece of ground. That is, this is where we've got like when the thousand or so gang members came in that book, you know, you got hordes of people and you just can't keep them out, then a fourth and final effort is going to be for everybody to get together and in one area, say just off, if you're in a city, you know, it may be a, you know, a whatever, a 5-6 block area or something like that, you know, out in a rural area it may be to go to one particular area regardless of whose land it encompasses. Of course, we don't want to invade their homes, but regardless of whose land this encompasses, you want to go to a place that's defendable, where you can, you've got as many resources as you can get together in the form of food, water, hopefully still live animals, cattle, and whatnot. Maybe a place where you can grow a little bit of stuff, but primarily the most defensible area in your region there. So just a few more things that I thought about today. And that would take that for what it's worth. And but anyway, I think about when you present this to your community, you'd probably be better off not to try, "Hey, Nevada's in there with us. Good to see you, buddy. Been a while." If you're trying to present this to your community, you probably don't want to go right off the bat just trying to scare the hell out of everybody with everything that's happening. You might do something along the lines of, we need your help. We need help to strengthen the community or something along those lines, and say, if you've had a natural disaster in your area like we have, forest fires and whatnot, you could say something to the effect of, "Do you remember when this fire came through, were you prepared? If you had to evacuate, did you have a list pre-made up of what you can take? Whether that you've already thought about this, you're just going to grab it and go, or are you totally confused? You know? And try to ease them into it a little bit, and then go on with other stuff as needed. So anyway, just a few thoughts, man. The mountain shooter, that was hey Gauntlet, son, good to see you. Glad you made it in here. The 855, you know, that was a given. That was a 100% predictable scenario. Absolutely 100%, no question about it. Predictable reaction is raising the price up. They haven't even tried to ban it yet. You know that the manufacturers are pumping that stuff out just as damn fast as they can, and people are buying it just as damn fast as they can find it. So that was no question about it, and we knew that was coming, no doubt. So Yakima, that 9mm is still as cheap as it may be, as cheap as it has ever been. It's always still been a little cheaper to reload. It's just a matter of whether they think it's cheap enough, enough cheaper to justify the time put into it, as opposed to buying it. You know, when it was $4.99 a box, you had to figure out if you really wanted to put the time into reloading it. I did when I was shooting a hell of a lot of 9mm. I did put quite a bit of time into reloading. And back then, it was so cheap to get hollow points. And I just found a box here just the other day going through some of my stuff. Probably, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000. Hollow points when I got them back when they were cheap. So I've still got a bunch of that. I'm still going to load some. I'm not saying not to load it. I'm just saying that it's not as, not, you don't recognize quite the level of savings that you do in 9mm and, with some of the smaller calibers like that as you do, 40, 45, 357, stuff like that. So yeah, you should still, it's still worth it, especially if you have a relatively fast machine, like a Dillon 550 or a Lee turret press or something like that, where you can pump out at least 100 rounds an hour. And you get some of these other machines, you get a 650 or something, it's not too hard to pump out 400 or 500 rounds in an hour. So it's not too hard to devote an hour of your time to have put 500 rounds in a box there. So anyway, let's see. Doc, you're right. Some of the little bitty bullets are a little harder to load. What I did find, and I did this for two reasons. I'm a big fan of hollow point bullets. I mean, I'm not sorry, not hollow points, boat tails. So just about 100% of my 223 loading I do with boat tails, because it's so much easier for my big club sausage, Vienna sausage fingers to set those bullets. I wouldn't even consider loading a 25 ACP. That's just asinine to me. But the 223, I don't mind doing it as long as I use boat tail bullets. It's so much easier on the fingers, so. People with smaller fingers, maybe it's not so bad, but anyway. $399 a thousand for 855s right now. Yeah, I bet that was, I bet that sale didn't last 10 minutes with what's going on right now. That stuff will be $600 a thousand here. If it's not already, it will be pretty soon. Guarantee it. If Yakima, since you're talking about the 9mm, so you've got your dies. First off, I need to ask you, did you get carbide dies? I hope you did. They're more expensive, buddy. They are damn sure worth it. If you didn't get carbide dies, if these are new, then take them back, trade them in, and get carbide dies. And your bullets are not, depending on what you're shooting it out of, not horribly critical, depending on what you want to do with it. Full metal jackets are fine. I've never been a real big fan of lead bullets. Well, I can't say that. I was, too. When I was shooting a lot of 45s back in the day when I was competing a lot, yeah, I shot a lot of cast bullets in the 45. And I did shoot, and still continue. I've still got quite a few 44s that are a very hard cast, wide, flat nose, but they are gas checked. Gas checked bullets are certainly cheaper than jacketed, but you can little less worry about velocities and stuff. You can push them pretty hard. And I shot a bunch of those, 1,300-1,400 feet a second out of a 7.5-inch Blackhawk. Killed several deer with it, one elk, and they perform extraordinarily well on big game. I really, really like those bullets. I've still got quite a few of them. I wouldn't worry too much about using the 44 as my defensive gun. Certainly, you could and do a fine job, but. Nevertheless, it wouldn't be my first choice. Yakima, you can still, even if you have a single stage press, that was not what I was asking. Did you get carbide dies? Or maybe you answered me and I didn't see it. But, no, you haven't answered me yet. Carbide dies. If you didn't get carbide dies and your 9mm dies are new, if you didn't buy them used, take them back, trade them in, and get carbide dies. You can get carbide dies from Lee. Lee's not my favorite die maker, but they're okay. You can get carbide dies pretty reasonable with them. They are certainly a lot higher. But you'll find out after you've been reloading for a little while, they're worth every penny of that with the extra cost there. Absolutely. Okay, I see where you answered me there now. All right. Okay. And the lead rifle bullets, you know, we're talking about that. Right now, back sometime before I left Farmington, there was a gun guy, a gun fanatic such as myself, that was getting really old and figuring that he wasn't going to use a whole lot of this stuff anymore, and I bought a ton of empty 30-06 brass and 40 a good hard cast gas checked 41s, 44s, whole bunch of 357s, which I wish I hadn't sold now. I wish I had them back. A good man, and I don't know why, I put these 30 caliber bullets out to sell two or three times, and sold a few of them, but not very many. And I'm kind of glad I didn't now. They're 173 grain, I believe. Quite hard. They're gas checked. 30 caliber. And I'm going to hold on to those for two reasons. Just what Doc was talking about up there. Use some of those maybe for, not that they need to be a low-powered round, but I would use those for that. Load them down a little bit and use them for small game or whatever. But also for my 30-30. I've got all these bullets. Why not load a bunch of them up for the 30-30? 30-30 is not a high-velocity round anyway. And these being gas-checked, I can push them pretty hard. So if that 30-30 is pressed into a defensive role, obviously if it was a a home defense role, I would probably want to have hollow points or a good quality soft point or something. But if we're talking about poop hit the fan type stuff where everybody else is using full metal jackets and your 308s and 223s and 30 carbines and everything else, why not use a good hard cast? But because I have them, because I've got a bunch of them, I've got several hundred. So I don't see why in the world that wouldn't make a decent fighting round for the 30-30. It may not have quite the penetration of the 855 or a full metal jacketed 308, but it's going to have a whole hell of a lot more than the hollow points or the soft points. So I think that's a good idea. I'm glad I thought about that before I got rid of all those. And so you can push with the gas checks on there. I can push those just about as fast as a 30-30 shoots anyway. So I don't think that'll be a problem. Doc, I've got all of my pistol dies, all of them, are carbide. I don't have any carbide rifle dies, but all of my handgun dies, I can bypass that extra step and not mess around with any type of wax or lube or anything. Just I run them through the tumbler and clean them and go to resize them and not have to take an extra step in there at all. The Nevada will hold on here a minute. Nevada, we need to get you down here. I tell you what, you get down here one of these days in the not too distant future, and we'll fix you up here on this loading stuff. I know you've been wanting to take a reloading class for a long time, so I think that we will plan to fix you up with that if you're available. Matter of fact, as it stands right now, tentatively, if you would like to, mark out the 27th of March. And if you think you can swing that, we're going to have a reloading class. So might help you out there if you want to try that. Okay. Dang it, I'm having lots of computer problems tonight. I can't believe somebody hadn't complained about the sound so far. It's been a lot of trouble, especially with the chat. And I don't know if it's Flash Player or what is going on here. But Yakima, as long as we're talking about loading the 9mm again here, the Trail Boss is okay if you're... I don't know if you're talking about low-velocity rounds for the 9mm or for rifle rounds. For rifle rounds, you can use a great many different pistol powders if you're loading them way down a lower velocity like that. You may find that you want to put a Dacron or a Kapok-type filler above the powder, because you're going to put a very small charge of powder in there, and as you carry the rifle down the trail with the muzzle pointed safely downwards, and that powder eventually all ends up towards the front of the bullet, towards the bullet in the front of the case, and then you bring the gun up to shoot, and that powder's all still pretty much piled up right behind the bullet, and the primer goes off, a lot of the fire and effectiveness of the primer is not going to reach all the way up to the front of that rifle case. I've seen that even in 38s. And finally I figured out, we put this little tuft of Dacron in there, and to hold that powder charge down against the primer, and wow, what an amazing, absolute phenomenal difference in accuracy that was. It was as different as shooting a muzzle loading single shot pistol and a finely tuned target rifle. amazing difference in it. So I learned a valuable lesson there, and it works well, and I continue to do that. If I load any real light loads, man, a couple bucks worth of Dacron will load up many a round to do that with. Doc's uses Unique for a universal powder. I like Unique because it is very, very versatile. You can do a lot with it. I just don't like it too much because it's kind of dirty and smoky and doesn't burn as clean as some of the others. I've used Blue Dot for rifle rounds. I used Blue Dot. Matter of fact, when I did my, I used Blue Dot in 45-70 cases for my contender. I used Blue Dot in 223 cases for my contender, and it'll load all of the pistol rounds. It's a great magnum powder. It burns a lot cleaner than Unique, although it's not as good in the light powered. Unique is also a decent shotgun powder, but so is Blue Dot. Blue Dot gives me the velocities that I want for. Blue Dot is my powder of choice for the 40 caliber and the 10 millimeter, and it does a really good job with the 9 millimeter. However, my choice for the 9 millimeter that is as clean as factory loads, it gives me good velocities, you know, well over 1,200 feet a second out of a Browning high power, and that is Olin, you know, Winchester 231. 231 is an excellent, excellent 9mm powder. But, again, Unique works. Blue Dot works. There's, you know, 20 different pistol powders out there that work well if you do a little bit of studying on it and don't try to hot rod too much. And I'm going to tell you about all of your reloading. With one exception. Everything that you load for, all this hot rod stuff, trying to get that last 10 feet a second out of it, you're not accomplishing anything. You don't need to. Your accuracy very often comes from a little bit reduced loads, just a little reduced. The Nevada, I'll see what we can do about that, but I don't know if I can get anybody else to do this on any other day but a Friday and Saturday. But I'll look at it and see what I can work out for you. But you'll find that most of your matter of fact, my absolute favorite 223 load for, you know, back in the day for this one particular gun was 21 grains of 4198. And partner, I want to tell you that you've heard me talk about the group that I shot the 136 thousandths of an inch with my 223 at 100 yards. That was 21 grains of 4198. Now, I lost probably 250 feet a second out of that, but I'll guarantee you it stacked bullets one right on top of the other. It just barely wallered out a hole that with that 223, you couldn't even safely stick a pencil through that hole without touching the sides. No kidding. It really, really shot. So there's no need to try to push that to get every ounce out of there. Now, I told you there was one exception to that. And that is your belted magnum cases. Your belted magnums typically work better when they're pushed pretty tough, when they're pretty hard. So you might keep that in mind if you have a 300 Win Mag or any of the short mags or something like that. Push it pretty hard. And usually accuracy is a little bit better than that. Mountain Shooter, you say you're out of Blue Dot. I'll tell you another one. Like I said, my favorite powder for the 9mm is 231. Blue Dot works well. Ramshot makes a powder called True Blue. And True Blue, very much the same characteristics, very similar characteristics as Blue Dot. and outstanding 10 millimeter and 40 caliber stuff. The True Blue is really, really similar to Blue Dot. So if you can find some of that, I think you'll be really happy with it. It looks like we've got everybody here is thinking that Blue Dot is pretty good stuff. Okay, let's see. I loaded to the pretty much the top of the charts on my Magnum revolvers simply because most of what I used in my Magnums, almost 100%, was Winchester 296. And 296 is something that you do not want to download any. It needs to fill up at least 90% of your case capacity. You do not want to shoot reduced loads with 296. So that was the reason I did that. But I got excellent velocities, excellent accuracy. And the other thing is, the 296 is really the only pistol. Of course, H110 would do the exact same thing, but 296 was the only pistol powder that I found back in those days that gave me good accuracy out of my rifles, out of my carbines. I had a little 357 Magnum. I've got a 44. I still have one of each. And 296, Blue Dot 2400 would do okay, but not nearly as well as 296. And if you look at some of your other stuff, Unique or any of the other pistol powders suck at Magnum out of rifle barrels. They just did not get the velocity nor the accuracy that I wanted out of it. But 296 was it was the only thing to even consider for me. I really, really had a good experience with it. And I've still got some, and if I go back to load, I've got a bunch of 44s loaded for the rifle that I have now, and I don't have a 44 handgun anymore, so. But if I load some more, unless I'm pressed into an emergency, you can bet that it'll be with 296. Now, like I said, 296 and H110 are absolutely the same thing. You can use same primers, same data, same. Everything will work fine. I don't know when they started that just exactly, but H110 has always been real close, but now it is the same thing. Let's see here. Let me go back up here and look and see what's going on in the chat room. I think, Doc, we might as well, since everybody's kind of brought up the SKS, maybe we ought to talk about the SKS just a little bit. It's a pretty simple proposition. I mean, there's not a whole lot to, it depends on what you want to do with it. We'll talk about that. There is a lot of things you can do with it. So I tell you what, I think what I'm going to do here is we're going to go over here and find a little song about a foot long. And let's see, what's a good one? Let me pick a good one here. And we'll play a song or two, and then we'll get back and talk a little bit more about that kind of stuff. How about, I have such a vast, how about this one? This sounds like a good song. Come on.
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing goes right? Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But But after you finish your business, the toilet paper's gone. Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Well, I was running late for work, so I poured me some coffee to go. And just before I had a flat tire, spilled it all over my clothes. When the highway patrolman pulled up, I thought that help was on the way. But when he saw the tire tool in my hand, he shot me with pepper spray. Oh, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day, y'all can sing it if you want to, for me to whoop somebody's ass. When I finally made it to work, I was 15 minutes late. I told my boss about the flat tire, but he fired me anyway. So here I am out in the parking lot, just waiting by his Corvette. I'm gonna give him a goodbye present that he never will forget. Let's sing it again. Great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass.
That's what I like to see. Bullseyes every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right. Let's get back here. Tampico Scout, I can see your comments. You just there's a little delay here, and your 9mm comment came up just about the time I went on the break. So there's a, I don't know what the delay is tonight, but there's usually anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute or so delay between there. So that's why sometimes I don't answer. And sometimes I just don't want to talk to you because you're talking to me about those stupid cannon bottles. But, yeah, I agree with the canning thing. I do 100%. But we have hundreds and hundreds of them that's sitting there empty, and Amy doesn't can, so I ain't buying no more damn bottles just yet. But hopefully she'll get started in that. I think she wants to. We just, situation has been such that it's been, well, just hard to do. So we've had a lot of other things on this fire here. All right, what do I use for 9mm bullets? Well, like I said a while ago, what I use now, I used to, when I first started loading a 9mm, I picked up a bunch of them up in Lewiston, Idaho. I went to I forgot what the name of that store is, but there's one right down there on the main drag, and they sell factory seconds from right there from CCI's factory. And you go in and buy them by the pound. There ain't a damn thing in the world wrong with them. Not a thing in the world. They're nothing different about them than the ones that you buy in the box for, you know, back in those days they were about $4.95 a hundred or whatever it was. So we'd buy them by the pound. You go in there and we'd get a big heavy duty paper sack and you take the ice cream scooper out of there and not the ice cream, but it's like a grain scoop. You know, you've seen them big aluminum little shovel looking things down at the feed store. You take those and shovel your sack full and go buy them by the pound. And that was the way to go. And I didn't find anything wrong with them. So after that, after I moved away from there, and that's what I've got, what I just told you I found the other day, I loaded almost exclusively hollow points because I'm just not a big fan of full metal jackets in the 9mm for anything except training. So most of what I loaded was hollow points. And I would get midway arms, watch them closely. And check for they have factory seconds and clearance sales and stuff every once in a while. You may have to wait a month or two, but sooner or later you'll see that that's a good place to watch for a good sale. Also, it wouldn't be out of reason for you to, I mean, it's a pretty good little trip from where you're at down to Lewiston, but you know, go down there on a 3-day weekend and take B2 Basic down there and enjoy a weekend in Lewiston and go in down there and buy a bunch of the factory seconds and however many different calibers you want. The worst blemish, the worst problem I ever saw with any of these bullets, the most thing that was wrong with them, or the most frequent, most common thing, was they were exactly as the name implies, they were blemished. They just weren't polished as well and pretty as the other ones. There wasn't a damn thing wrong with them. I did see the worst thing I ever saw wrong was with some, I believe it was either 44s or 357s that I got. And the cantilever on it didn't match up on the other side. They run it through their roller deal, and it went around there and got off center a little bit and didn't quite match up on the other side. Now, in a finely tuned, highly surgically accurate precision bolt gun, that might have made a little bit of a difference. In handguns, nobody but me and the guy that sold it to me and God is ever going to know that those cantilevers didn't match up. It's not going to matter. So, you might check into that. But Midway is a good place for check for that. Check all your different component and reloading sales places. There's what's that one, Doc? I think there's one down in Mississippi. Natchez Shooter Supply, and I think that's in Mississippi. And a good place to get stuff too. The Mountain Shooter, not Mountain Shooter, Yakima Glock, a couple of things for you. The whole thing about shooting cast bullets in the Glock barrel is basically a bunch of crap. It's not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. Now, you don't want to shoot soft cast bullets too fast through there. You do want to check them pretty carefully clean them out good. If you start seeing any buildup in there, you do not want to try to push it. If you start seeing buildup in a Glock barrel, stop and get it cleaned out. Reason being, your gas seal is vastly superior in Glock barrels than it is other more conventional barrels. Now, two other things you can do. One of them is to, Mountain Shooter, Graff & Sons, Mid-South Shooters, yeah, both great place. The gas-checked bullets, anything gas-checked, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but there's no real concern at all in a Glock barrel as fast as you want to shoot them if you want to shoot gas-checked. The other thing is if you want to shoot a lot of lead bullets, just buy another barrel. Buy a conventionally rifled barrel from Lone Wolf Supply, Lone Wolf Distributors, or Glockmeister or any of them. It costs about $125, and it's got regular cut rifling in it, just like most other guns have. And then you don't have quite the concern about it. So, I mean, you can still get silly with it, and you can still still cause problems if you try real hard, but you got less to be concerned about with conventional barrels. So we've kind of shot up some of our time here. So let's get back to the SKS a little bit. What Mountain Shooter said a while ago, someone was asking about the gas piston. Mountain Shooter is absolutely correct. If the gun is functioning properly, don't worry about it. If you feel like it's wearing out, it's starting to slow down a little bit, your reliability is not quite at 100%, then change it out. They're not horribly expensive. Matter of fact, they're pretty reasonable. Tampico Scout, I don't remember what the place was in Lewiston, but it's right on the main drag as you come over the bridge and go into town. You're going to take right coming from where if you're coming from the north and you come down the valley or come down the mountain there, cross the bridge. You're going to take a right on the main drag and you get down about halfway through town and it'll be on your left hand side. That's all I can remember. I don't know if that's any help to you or not. And that was a long time ago. Of course, the town couldn't have grown anymore to the north from where that place was because the river's there. So it's if it's still in business, it doesn't matter whether it's in business or not, because there's a bullet manufacturing place there, and somebody is selling those bullets for selling those blims. You can do the same thing at the Sierra plant up in Missouri or somewhere back in Nebraska or somewhere. You can do the same thing there. Everybody that makes bullets sells seconds or blims unless they're cast, and then they melt them down and do it over again. So, Peanut Rider, Tampico Scout, that is not the place that you buy the bullets. That's where they make the bullets. They're not the ones that selling the seconds. There was a gun shop there that the gun shop buys the seconds from Spear and sells them. So don't go looking at the Spear place to do that unless they've changed their policy. They do not sell them out of the factory itself. Nevada, Storm Lake barrels are a lot tighter than Lone Wolf. Arguably, you might get a tad better accuracy out of them, but your reliability may suffer a little bit. I've had several people with Storm Lake barrels, and because they are quite a bit tighter chambers and stuff, didn't experience quite the degree of accuracy that you would reliability that you'd expect out of a Glock. So Lone Wolf barrels are fine; they work just fine. Now, if you want both, if you want precision and reliability, get one of the match grade KKM barrels. KKM, they're a little more expensive. You're not going to find one for $125. But they are awesome, and that's what I have in my 10 millimeter. And I have no problem shooting 3-inch, 3.5-inch groups at 50 yards with it, with just about anything I put in it. It does a fine job. Keep trying to get back to the SKS, and we keep drifting off on here on 9mm stuff and reloading. So I tell you what we're going to do. Let's plan on this. Let's devote next Thursday to, we'll start out with the SKS and we'll run it, we'll milk it for everything it's worth, try to get everything out of it we can, and then if we need to drift off, you know, into another thing before we finish up, then that'll be fine. But I've tried and tried to get back to the SKS, and we just haven't seemed to manage to get it done yet. So next Thursday, plan on it. We'll start at the beginning of the show and go till we run out of things to talk about the SKS. And that may take a little while, because the SKS has got a lot going for it. It's a simple gun, but I can tell you some good modifications and stuff to do to it. My SKS I had, I kind of wish I hadn't sold it. It was an awesome little truck gun. Good shooter. And I'll tell you some neat tricks and stuff to do to your SKS to make it something that is more desirable. People say, well, it's just an SKS. You buy them, they're cheap, and blah, blah, blah. Well, that, you know, to a degree, that's true. But, you know, you want to put a little money in it, put a little time in it, and you can make a hell of a good shooting little gun out of them. So we'll talk about all that next Thursday. Classes we have scheduled right now. I told you we've had a CCW class scheduled for the 13th and a Counter-Strike class scheduled on the 14th. Those are going to have to change. We've got some other things we got to take care of. So those are moving up a week. It's going to be the 20th for the CCW class and the 21st for the Counter-Strike class, which puts our reloading class that was scheduled for the 20th now on the 27th. So on the 27th, we'll take care of that. And we might even try to make some special concessions here for Nevada there. We'll figure out something for him. And we still have the Battlefield Medic class coming up on the 27th and 28th of this month. That is a week from day after tomorrow. No, a week from tomorrow, because it's going to be a Friday and Saturday. So, yeah, a week from tomorrow. All right. Now, I need to get busy and get some other things up here on the calendar, but that's what we got going for the time being. I saw something, 180 grain wide flat nose gas checked out. Oh, yeah, that was... I remember that, Gauntlet. That was Gauntlet was one of the few people that got to shoot my, has got to the privilege of shooting my Glock 20. My Glock 20 is a damn fine shooting handgun. I really, really like it. I didn't know that KKM had moved to Nevada. Nevada, that's good to know. But you know, look at them before you get too dedicated, carried away with the Storm Lake barrel. Take a look at KKM. That's what I've got on mine. I've got a couple of KKM barrels. I got one of my Glock 22s also has a KKM barrel, and they shoot very, very well. Now, the average guy out there probably wouldn't notice the accuracy difference. Gauntlet, you're a good shot. You can probably squeeze the difference out of there. I know good and well that Nevada can. The average shooter that's still struggling with other issues, just stick with your stock barrel. You're not going to notice the degree of accuracy out of it probably for a little while. So don't disappoint yourself. Don't go spend a bunch of money on a barrel and then say, well, it doesn't shoot any better than my other one. No, what that means is you're still not shooting any better than you were with the other barrel. So, you know, wait till you get to a point where you think you've managed to milk every millimeter of accuracy out of your stock barrel or whatever barrel you have, And if you're looking to upgrade, you're shooting longer ranges, you're shooting groups that, you know, that you measure with a micrometer instead of a yardstick, then you might want to look at going with a match grade barrel of some kind. The KKM barrel is definitely a shooter. No question about it. Okay. Yeah, Doc, I remember that. I paid $89.95 for my first one. And it's not hard to find some now that are over $400. When we were in Farmington, I bought dozens of those things for $89.99, probably $99, and sold them for $129.95. Made $30 on them and shot a bunch of them out of that. Okay. Well, I've had just about all the fun I can stand. I hope you guys have got something out of this. This was kind of an off-the-cuff show here. We've had other things going on, had meetings and stuff today, and didn't really put the effort and time into this show that I should have. So hopefully it still worked out for you. Next Thursday, we're going to be all over that SKS. Tomorrow night, Liberty Land. Wait. I'm going to try to be on here live tomorrow night. There is a possibility if I'm still on the road, if I don't make it to where I'm going in time, I may have to put on an archive for you. But I will. Liberty Lounge will happen. Whether it's live or an archive, it will be on at the proper time. So there you go. The C7, I bet you are willing to take that G20 off my hands. But I'm going to tell you, you'd probably rather shove a wet noodle up a bulldog's butt than try to get that Glock 20 from me. Just saying. All right, I got to get out of here.
A gun will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. To join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin. Of the man with the gun.